Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
They came into the SEC last year and looked SEC ready from day one. What does year two bring for the Texas Longhorns? Eric Henry joins us now, 24/7 Sports, Horns 24/7. I know he started a couple games last year, including one against Mississippi State, but I'm calling this Arch Manning's debut here for the Texas Longhorns. For your money, is this the most anticipated debut in Texas football history?
Yeah, you know, first off, appreciate you having me on. Listen, I've been on the beat 3 years. I don't know if I can say Texas football history, but I think you don't have to be a college football historian to look at, you know, what I affectionately refer to as Arch Mania, right? The hoopla around Arch Manning last year, and say that you can't think of very many athletes, quite frankly, I think in sports, where their full-time starting debut, as you noted, Arch started a couple games last year, but them officially being the guy. I don't think you can find very many debuts in sports that are more anticipated than Arch Manning. Won't belabor the point, but we all know all the things that come with him, right? The last name, the five-star ranking, and just kind of him. I think, you know, even the little glimpses of what you saw last season may have even heightened the anticipation for August 30th, at Ohio State.
This is a Texas team, you know, they lost a ton. There's just no getting around that. And, you know, they're still going to be ranked in the top probably five to start this season. The first place I want to start is the offensive line. You know, we're recording the day after the NFL draft. Kelvin Banks was picked by the New Orleans Saints in the first round. Texas lost a good number of starters off of what was the best offensive line, I think, in college football last year. A lot of teams would go to the portal and immediately try to you know, bring in guys who were starters at other schools. Texas looks like they're going to go with their guys that they've developed and they've been in the program for a while. Is that a move that, you know, teams like Texas can do because they can recruit elite talent? But is that a smart move in this day and age of the portal, that maybe stick with your guys that know the system and you're not trying to force cohesion onto five new guys?
You took the words right out of my mouth. I've been a big believer in this. I mean, look no further than Oklahoma last year, for example, right? You know, they tried to portal a bunch of guys, and maybe that was by necessity. I'm not critiquing Oklahoma. Each school has to do what they have to do, right? But I've long been of the belief that, yes, you can portal maybe a receiver, even though Texas, most notably Matthew Golden, A.D. Mitchell the year prior, it took them a little while to find their footing in Steve Sarkisian's offense as a receiver. But you can possibly portal, you know, corner certain spots. Offensive line is a cohesion and a mental position in my mind. I think Steve Sarkisian, you know, while he hasn't outwardly said it publicly, I do believe that he shares kind of the belief of me. And listen, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm the one who imparted this wisdom on him. But when you have multiple offensive line coaches throughout your career and multiple guys telling you, no, put your foot this way, or no, lead with this hand, or no, strike this way, I mean, that'll mess up an offensive lineman. So to your point, I think was really astute on your part the way you mentioned it. Steve has long praised Kyle Flood, Texas's co-offensive coordinator and offensive line coach, of course, former Rutgers head coach, as one being one of the better offensive line coaches in the nation. They like to bring in their guys, develop him and recruit him. And I'll give you this real quick before I let you get to your next question. If you wanted any proof in that, if you take a look, Texas over the last three recruiting classes has signed, not including the 2025 class, excuse me, so prior three, they've signed 8 4- or 5-star recruits at offensive line, right? Ironically enough, Kelvin Banks wasn't even the highest rated recruit in his class. It was DJ Campbell. But you take a look at some of the 3 stars that have worked out: Connor Robertson, Cam Williams, who likely will be drafted at some point, probably, I guess not Sunday, now Saturday, right? You said that last day being Sunday, but Cam Williams was a 3-star recruit. Trevor Goosby, who they are depending to be their left tackle this year, 3-star recruit. So they do believe that they can A, recruit the position well, and B, maybe find some hidden gems and develop them really well into what they want up front.
With, you know, trying to replace starters at wide receiver and running back, how wide open are those position battles this spring?
I'll start with running back. I think RB2 is a little wide open, I guess, to give your audience the background, right? C.J. Baxter, the nation's number one overall running back recruit 2 years ago, signs with Texas, earns the starting running back job out of camp as a true freshman, battles some injuries, and then eventually Jonathan Brooks, who of course was drafted by the Carolina Panthers, ends up emerging as the lead back. He takes the role, right? C.J. still had a solid freshman year, and there were high hopes for him as a sophomore, but then he goes down with a major knee injury that paves the way for Quintrevion Wisner to emerge as the lead back, rushed for over 1,000 yards. So he's going to be the RB1. Where CJ is in his recovery, he didn't really take part in spring ball. So it's going to come down to how he kind of progresses over the summer and the fall to probably, you know, compete and see where he's with RB2. Christian Clark was another four-star recruit that they had at running back. He ended up going down a week after CJ with an Achilles injury. And, you know, that certainly has him on the mend as far as recovering. He didn't take part in spring in the same fashion as well, right? So really, you take a look. You got a couple of true freshmen, James Simon, Ricky Stewart. They're going to be competing. And then you have the one running back who seemingly didn't get hurt last year outside of Wisner and Jarrett Gibson. So I think that's wide open for RB2. Receiver, now you start taking a look at some of the additions they've made, most notably Emmett Mosley, the fifth coming in from Stanford. I would say the top three are set, right? You got Mosley, you got Ryan Wingo, you got DeAndre Moore. Where some of the rest of these freshmen or redshirt freshmen come in, that's where things get interesting. Steve Sarkisian has shown that he will. His first 3 years, he was rolling with three receivers. Those are the guys who've earned my trust. Those are the guys who are going to play. Last year, he expanded that receiver room because there was so much talent, was shown that he will run out four and five receivers. So depending on what they want to do at the position, is there room for, you know, maybe a five-star freshman like a Jamie French or a Kalik Lockett or maybe a Parker Livingstone, I think is a name that your audience should know. 6'4", about a $190, $195, was a three-star recruit, but is super athletic, right? He was kind of the lead guy with some of the injuries in spring camp. Keep an eye on him, but I guess it's a long-winded way of saying probably more open competition at wide receiver than there is running back.
On the defensive side of the ball, it's kind of the same story. A lot of production gone from this Texas team from a year ago. Who are the new faces we need to be keeping an eye on there?
Yeah, I'll start at the defensive line. In terms of new faces, defensive tackle, Steve Sarkisian again, Pete Kukowski, defensive coordinator, Kenny Baker, defensive line coach, defensive tackle coach. They have gone heavy in the portal the last 2 years with defensive tackles. They brought in five this year, right? I think the names to know, I could run down all five, but I'll kind of give you a couple. One, Travis Shaw was brought in from North Carolina, former five-star recruit, top 20 recruit in the nation overall. Battled knee injuries when he was at North Carolina. Also struggled with weight. The knee flared up a little bit during the spring, so he was kind of on a pitch count. It depends on if he can reach that ceiling, that five-star potential. Cole Brevard from Purdue was a big-time run stuffer last year, 6'3", 350 coming in. Keep an eye on him to kind of be that Bill Norton kind of type from last year, although he probably will start. If the season started today, it would be he and Alex January, a returner. And the last one, who they just picked up, Marad Watson, right? Big former freshman All-American from Syracuse. I think you got to keep an eye on him as well because he's someone who is rising. No real new names in the linebacker room, so we can bypass that. But when you go to the secondary, new names that will emerge. One, Jelani McDonald. Andrew Makuba, of course, off to the NFL. He probably will be drafted tonight. Yeah. Jelani McDonald is a kid we've heard about a lot. Was an athlete, kind of a jack of all trades at up there in Waco coming out of high school. Makes the move to defense, starts out as a linebacker, and then moves to safety. He described his game when we talked with him yesterday as physical and violent, and known as one of the hardest hitters on the team. So that's a new name. And then also really quick, I'd say on the outside, keep an eye on Kobe Black as a four-star recruit who got some playing time down the stretch last year, has really impressed as well.
We've mentioned a couple of true freshmen. Are there any more that you want to give a quick shout-out to that could play a role for Texas this year?
Yeah. In terms of true freshman, I would say I'll do one at receiver. Michael Terry is someone to keep an eye on as a five-star recruit, a five-star athlete. Enrolled early, actually started practicing with the team during the CFP, college football playoff, at receiver. He's someone who they're very high on, so keep an eye on him. On the defensive side of the ball, Jonah Williams. This kid right now actually is, you know, filling the Texas Longhorn baseball, number one Texas baseball. Yeah. They're void in the outfield, but mm-hmm. he is a freak of nature. I mean, it's you don't want to be hyperbolic, but when you got Jim Schlossnagel and Steve Sarkisian, Jim Schlossnagel, Texas head baseball coach, you know, invoking the names of Dion and Bo Jackson after, you know, the kid's only 17, but has stepped in doing his thing on the baseball field, but on football, on the football field, on the gridiron at safety. Big time recruit, and he wants to play both. He is not, you know, I'm just dabbling in one or the other. So
right.
he's definitely going to make a push for some playing time this year.
This Texas team, you know, a season ago, I thought they were the best team in the country for most of the year. It just didn't pan out there for them in the playoffs and really in the SEC championship game as well. But this year, bigger. I feel like the expectations are even bigger because of Arch. And I don't know if that makes sense or not, because this is a team that was – they were number one in the nation for most of the year last year. But I think the expectations are higher this year for Texas. Am I off on that, or is that something you feel in Austin?
It's tough to kind of compare last year and this. If I was to juxtapose the two, I think coming off of the college football playoff in 23, right, where you lose to Washington, you know, you come up, you know, 14, 15 yards away from playing for national title, expectations certainly were high. And of course, you get back to the CFP again this year in the same circumstance, right? If Texas has better goal line execution against Ohio State, maybe they're playing for a national title. I'll answer it this way. I think the expectations are high, but I don't necessarily know if it's specifically tied to Arch as much as it is just how close Texas has come the last 2 years, hoping can they break through that ceiling and you know, make it to a national title. But your point isn't off base. You know, in Austin, some of the flaws, and again, I won't go too long, but some of the perceived flaws of Quinn Ewers that fans had, I think they believe that Arch Manning is kind of the person who, you know, can overcome those things and do some of those things at a higher clip.
We'll get to see another Manning take on Mississippi State. We've seen his grandfather. We've seen two of his uncles. Now we'll get to see Arch in Starkville this upcoming season. Eric Henry, 24/7 Sportsman. Really appreciate the time. Really good info today. Thanks.
Anytime. Appreciate you having me on.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.